Let us turn again to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 128, and let us consider verse 1. Psalm 128 at verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. It should be an important consideration for us to be clear as to who is truly blessed. Am I, that should be our question, am I among those who have God's blessing? It's God's blessing that matters, not anybody else's. However nice it might be, to have somebody's blessing, to have somebody's good wishes, and so on. Yet, what we have in the Bible is direction as to who are blessed by God. And we have it, and we'll notice some other such statements as we go along, I trust, and we have it here in particular. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Or, putting it alternatively, that walketh in his ways. God has revealed his ways. The ways that he has appointed for us to walk in. How should we live? There's a question. An important question. A vital question. And I suppose that if you were to ask any number of people on the street that question, they would say something like this. Well, we should try to live for the maximum happiness of most people. Or if they're a bit more less aware of other people in a sense, we should live so that we get the most happiness in life. Well, here's another answer. And the thing is, this is an accurate answer. This is one we should pay attention to. This is the answer of the God who made us. He is saying, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone that walks in his ways. They have a blessing that other people don't have. And you might watch their lives, you might think of their circumstances, and you might say to yourself, that doesn't really sound like a blessing. Somebody who is unwell, long term, somebody who experiences bereavement and tragedy time and again, and you might say, that doesn't sound like blessing. That's not the way I would want to live, and maybe not. Very likely not. That's not what it would be natural to desire. Certainly if that's all we look at. But if we look at things overall, and if that person who experiences so many difficulties is described in that verse, well, overall, they truly are blessed if they are fearing the Lord and if they are walking in God's ways. The two statements point in basically the same direction. And we will try to consider first these descriptions. We will consider the people who fear the Lord and who walk in God's ways. And then in the second place, we will try to say something about their blessedness. What is it about them? What is it about their lives? What is it about them, their prospects, their future prospects, that makes them blessed? And you see, what we have to say is that they have God's blessing. I mentioned that already, but let us emphasize it again. So we've got two things. First, the descriptions of those who have God's blessings. They fear God and they walk in his ways. And secondly, in what ways are they blessed? What does God's blessing amount to? What is true of people who have God's blessings? What are the blessings that God gives them? Well, first of all, they fear God, they walk in his ways. And for a comparison, we can go back to to Psalm 112, and in the first verse we read, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." That's what we have in our text. It's there as well. But the other description is that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now, to fear God, it's not to be terrified of God. That's not what it means. But it's a fear of displeasing God. And if it's a fear of displeasing God, then the essence of it is that there's a delight in what pleases God. They are afraid of displeasing God, not because of the consequences, at least. That's not the main point, but because God is displeased. They do not want God to be displeased. They do not want God to be displeased with them. And corresponding to that, there is this. They delight greatly in God's commandments. Or, as we have it here, they walk in his ways. Our text doesn't emphasize the intensity of their delight, or even refer to the idea of delight. But to walk in the ways of God is to be obedient to his commandments. His commandments mark out the ways that God would have us walk in. God's commandments are intended to be, will we say, a hedge along each side of the way that we take through life. Each commandment is marking a boundary. We shouldn't want to overstep that boundary. And the idea of the word transgression, equivalent to the word sin, is a crossing of that boundary. Sin is a crossing of the boundary God has put along the way that we should walk in. In other words, his commandments. And we read elsewhere in scripture that God's commandments are not grievous. At least, that's the way they should be. If we fear God, we will not find his commandments difficult. We will not find them opposing the way we want to live. Now, people might find various commandments awkward, taking to do with the way they want to live. Like the Sabbath. The Sabbath commandment is a boundary on the way we behave. Well, it refers to the other days as well. But primarily, it's a boundary to what we do on the first day of the week. Today, we're trying to keep our ordinary activities to a minimum and to maximize the time available for worship. and to think about our souls. Now, there's people, of course, who have other responsibilities. They may have to spend a lot of time looking after their children, and they may regret the amount of time they lose that they could devote to thinking about God and His revelation. Well, that's their providence. Or their work may be such that they have to spend more time on the ordinary things than most people have to. People who are doctors or nurses, for instance, though they will try to limit in some ways what they have to do, what is unnecessary, may be very difficult. But to keep to the main point just now, who are they that are spoken of here? They fear God. They have a holy respect to God and to His commandments, to His ways. His ways are not grievous to them. They're not, I was going to say difficult, I think I used that word already and then hesitated a bit, because they may be difficult. We with a sinful heart will find God's commandments difficult. And in this world of imperfection, even the Lord's people may find some implications of the commandments difficult for them. But still, this is their desire. It's their desire to walk in God's ways. That's the thing. Their desire to walk in God's ways. Their desire is to do His commandments. And that's just to say they fear God. They do not want to displease. They want to do what is right. And because they have new hearts, they are on the side of God's commandments. Not perfectly. They're still in the world. But you see, we should be asking the Lord to make us love His commandments. You have that in Psalm 119. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. God's law, though that may not be just the commandments, it's very likely all of God's revelation. But the psalmist is saying, I love it. And I'm thinking about it. And he's thinking about it because he has the fear of God in his heart. Yes. He has that meditation on the commandments of God always. He's trying to, many a thing may interrupt that. We have other responsibilities which may demand concentration. But you see, it will be the tendency of someone who fears God to revert to thinking about God's word and thinking about God's commandments. Now, there are a number of verses that speak of the fear of the Lord and give some description of it. And here is one, Proverbs 1 verse 7, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And what that implies is that if we do not fear God, we do not have the beginning of true knowledge. We don't have the beginning of proper knowledge. And is that not a serious thing? We don't really know anything. Seems a pretty drastic thing to say. Of course, people may know many things about this world. They may have large memories and all sorts of facts and experiences are retained. But what the Bible is saying there is, unless we know something about how to live, the great principle of how to live, the fear of God, unless we know something about that, we don't really begin to know anything that is really worthwhile. And there's a contrast to that. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise. It's those who are foolish that are rejecting the counsel of God against themselves. We have that in Scripture. Rejecting the counsel of God against themselves. There's no fear of God there. There's no respect for God there. If one is rejecting what God, the way that God is directing us. If people are rejecting the counsel of God to have no other gods before Him, to keep the Sabbath day holy, to be careful about what language they use, not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain, and so on. Now, if people reject that, if people just don't think about these things, where's the fear of God? Where's the respect for God? If people reject the command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, well, there's rejection of the seriousness of sin, for one thing. There's a disparaging of the consequences of sin. A lost eternity. Yes. But you see, just as it is the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God, so fools more widely despise wisdom and instruction. God's wisdom, God's instruction, that's what's the matter here. God has revealed something of his wisdom. His wise knowledge, his wise warnings, his wise invitation, his wise directions as to how we should live. You see, God made us. God knows us, therefore. He knows how man thinks. He knows not only how he made man in the beginning, but he knows how man is as a fallen creature. God understands us. God understands our thinking. God knows our need. And God has wisely supplied our need. In a wise way, he has given a Savior for lost sinners. The Father sent the Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. That was wisdom, a wise provision. And fools despise the provision that God has made. Are you seeking it? Yes. There are some who have found him, and they go on seeking him. Seeking him day by day. Seeking his presence. Seeking his blessing. But you see, there was a beginning to their seeking of the Lord. When the Lord revealed to them their need. When God, in his wisdom, showed them what they needed and didn't have. God sent his word, applied it to their souls. He blessed them. Yes. And you see, what we have in Psalm 1. Blessed. You get that again. Now, who are blessed? According to David there in Psalm 1. Well, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's walking in God's ways. but not in the way of the ungodly. He wants to be kept out of these ways. He was ungodly once, and he has learned from the wisdom of God. He has learned what was foolish about these ways. And so he is seeking by God's grace to walk in the ways that God has set out for us. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't stay there. If he gets into the way of sinners in some kind of way, then he's not going to stand there. He's not going to loiter there. He's going to get away. And he may ask the Lord to draw him out of that situation. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't draw in his chair to the fireside, so to speak, sitting down, stretch out his legs, fold his arms. He's at home here. No, that's not the way. That's not the picture of the man who is blessed, sitting in the seat of the scornful, of the mocker, who is not just rejecting the teaching of God's word, but he is scornful of it. He thinks it's something that he can make fun of. On the other hand, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And you could go through many another expression showing you who they are that are blessed. And it should create in us, if it is not there already, it should create in us a desire to be blessed in this way. That should be our desire, to be truly blessed, to have the Lord's blessing, to have the Lord's approval. Not that, I'm not speaking about perfection, but still, the Lord shows his approval of those who have this general tendency in life to walk in his ways. This general attitude to God and to his commandments. The fear of God. Yes. But you see, if we're serious about these things, we will learn to pray. Again, Psalm 119, where we were singing, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." There's God's ways. How well do we walk? Well, those who are being taught by God will be learning that there's significant defects in the way that they walk. But you see, there's a throne of grace to go to. Throne of grace. We should be praying. We should be asking the Lord's help. There's Paul's expression. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. See how limited we are. How limited Paul felt himself to be. And if Paul felt himself to be limited, surely we will feel ourselves to be limited. Oh, that my heart were directed. You see, it's not just our outward obedience to the extent that that shows anything. Yes, it does. But what does God particularly look at? The Lord looketh upon the heart. As that was what was obvious when David was away looking after the sheep. The others were with Jesse, the other sons. Samuel was come to that house. Someone had to look after the sheep, and it was David that was there. And one after another came to Samuel, and the Lord said each time, "Not this man." And the reason was, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's how it is. That's how it is today. That's how it is. As the Lord looks down on each of us, he's looking in our heart. What are we making of his word? What are we making of what is set before us of his wisdom and of his knowledge? Do we approach these things, and do we approach his commandments in particular in the fear of God? The Lord sees it. But what is he seeing in connection with any one of us? Are we walking in his ways? Are we among those who truly fear God? Yes. That is, notice the descriptions given at the beginning of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled, blessed are the pure, the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. See the emphasis that there is throughout Scripture on those who are blessed. Then again, blessed are they who keep his testimonies. That's another way of expressing this, walking in the law of the Lord. And they seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. They're seeking him. They're seeking his ways. They're seeking grace to walk in his ways. They're seeking grace to be obedient to him. They're seeking the power of God working in their souls. They're seeking to have the Holy Spirit working in their souls. These are the blessed people. Just to refer to another series of descriptions of this blessed people, and we should be seeking earnestly before God to be among them. But again, in Psalm 147, we read, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. And yet they're not perfect. But that the way they operate, it's the result of God's work in their souls. It's the result of a new principle in their souls. And the Lord takes pleasure in that. He put it there himself. Yes, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear. But there's another thing put opposite that just now. In those that hope in his mercy. Someone might say, is it really the true fear of God I have in my soul? Or is it something else? Well, where are you looking for salvation? Is it to the mercy of God? There's another way of identifying yourself. Do you appreciate the idea of the mercy of God? Is that where your hope is? Is that where you have, is that how you have an expectation of blessedness for the future? And especially for eternity. Yes, you may look at yourself and look at your desires and look at what you do, and it gives you some hope that you have the working of the Holy Spirit in your soul, that you have a new heart. But are you relying on these things for salvation? Is that the foundation on which your hope lies with a view to eternity? I am, to put it like that, I am keeping God's commandments. Therefore, he will bring me to heaven at last. The word therefore is out of place there. But you see, what you are looking to is not what you do yourself. That will not earn you anything. But there's the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Looking to the mercy of God. Looking to God's kindness. Yes. To you as an undeserving sinner. That's how we are to think of in ourselves and the way of salvation and the basis for getting to heaven. It's this. The mercy of God. That God is full of mercy to those who are miserable, to those who are in a terrible condition, to those who have still sin working in their hearts. Supposing you think of someone who has been converted, the Holy Spirit has given him a new nature, but still, can he think of what he does now in the way of keeping God's commandments to the extent that he keeps these commandments? Can he think of that as what will earn his way to heaven? Well, no, of course not, if we have any regard for the law of God. But what we have is this. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is kind, even to those who are unworthy. He is kind to sinners, you see. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to do good to sinners, to forgive them, to make forgiveness possible. And it's not because of how they keep God's law, and yet they must be keeping God's law. The commandment is not changed because of their weakness, but for the sake of Christ, they keep being forgiven. For the sake of Christ, this goes on and on through their life, that their sins are not put to their account, that their sins are not imputed to them, and all for the sake of Christ, all because of the mercy of God for the sake of Christ. That's it. Yes. And this, well, take an example of Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. We are told of them that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That didn't save them. They were only doing what it was their duty to do, and yet it was identifying them as godly people. These things, this walking in the ways of God, this fear of God, it was identifying them as godly people. Yes. And what had happened? Well, we looked at that this morning, however briefly. The work of God in the soul from Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. They would walk in God's ways. Yes. And that's the work of God himself. We must always be conscious of that. There's a responsibility on sinners to keep God's commandments. There's a responsibility in sinners to turn to God. And yet, his work in the soul is so absolutely necessary if we are to walk in his commandments. But let us notice what is said to sinners in Isaiah chapter 1. Some of it anyway. What is said to sinners? The Lord is saying, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. See judgment. Relieve the oppressed. And so on. Stop sinning, in other words. Start keeping God's commandments. Though, if we face up to that, then we will realize how much we need God's grace, how much we need God's power, how much we need these as blessings for the sake of Christ. But you see, even then, there's this further call. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be wool, as wool. However much we are straying from the ways that God has appointed, there shall call to come and reason with God. To bring before him the various things that he has said. Yes, to tell him, to confess before him, I am a sinner, but thou hast said. Thou hast said there is salvation for those who have transgressed. That the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And I am where I am in the world. I am a sinner. And there is this provision of salvation. And we are to reason with the Lord about this. We are to reason with the Lord. We are to make arguments on the basis of his word. I am needy, you see, is our side of the reasoning. I am needy. And what's God's side of the reasoning? I am gracious. You can put it like that. That the sinner is to come reasoning. I am needy. And the sinner is to look to the Lord in Christ as one who is saying, I am gracious. I have made a provision. And it is a suitable provision for sinners. Yes, the sinner is to be saying, thou hast made a provision that is suitable for the like of me. Draw me by thy grace. How much we are encouraged to be reasoning with the Lord. Because of how complete his power is to deliver sinners like us. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they should be as wool. But a little now on the blessedness. The second thing, the blessedness. And I would like to sum it up first of all in these words in John chapter 10. The words of the Saviour. Speaking of his sheep. And of his leading the sheep. And it's this. I give unto them eternal life. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. And no one will pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life. That's salvation. You can spell it out in lots of ways. But that is one summary statement of salvation. Deliverance from everything that would keep us out of eternal life, including forgiveness. It includes forgiveness. It includes holiness. It includes everything that we need so that we might get to heaven. Eternal life. Blessed are they who fear God and walk in his ways, and who can be described in various other ways that we referred to, yes. And it's all summed up in this eternal life. So they will never perish. No one will, not the devil himself, will pluck them out of Christ's hand or the Father's hand. And all the people of God, all who fear God, whether more obviously or otherwise, all of them will be blessed. We read in Psalm 115, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. They may be prominent. Everybody might recognize them as the people of God. They will be blessed. Others are insignificant as far as the world measures these things. And they might not be showing the fear of the God in the same way, still they will be blessed too. They have been given eternal life. They too are on the way to heaven. They may have more growing in grace to do than others. Well, be it so. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Now, see what is said in the rest of the verse, and I'm not going really to go over it in detail, but it's largely taken up, these other verses in the psalm, the blessings. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. It shall be well with thee. A reference to the person's wife, and implicitly the other way around. Many children. These were blessings for the Jews. Now, there's very much an outwardness about these blessings that are listed here. But when we see these outward blessings, and that's more characteristic of the Old Testament than of the New. But when we read these blessings, we may translate them to some extent, into spiritual blessings. For instance, it's not everyone that will be married, and it's not everyone that will have children. They don't have these blessings, and yet they will have other blessings. They will be part of God's family. There's one way of putting it. We should be always able, more or less, to find a spiritual blessing that corresponds to these things. Or, if we take what was said to Moses, when he was pleading with the Lord after Israel's sin, when the Lord promised him, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Now, perhaps Moses was to understand that, first of all, in an outward way, that there would be God's protection from enemies and that sort of thing. And then, in the end, he would give his people rest in the promised land. But we're to see a spiritual picture there. The blessing, you see. And to see the blessing within the matter of eternal life. "My presence shall go with thee." He's saying that to all his people. They will have his presence, more obviously or less obviously. But he will not be far from any one of them. And he will bring whatever rest he will give them in this world, whatever peace of soul, peace of conscience, peace from those who would trouble them, peace from the devil's temptations, or even peace in the midst of the devil's temptations. You see, there will be the final rest in heaven. "I will give thee rest." The blessing. Have we got any right to these blessings? I mean, in Christ. And those who are fearing God, those who are seeking to walk in his ways, they are blessed. But are we blessed? As individuals. As particular individuals here under the preaching of the word this evening and in the face of our text, are we blessed? That vital first word in the text, does it apply to us? Well, let each of us try to answer that for ourselves. But whatever else, whatever conclusion we come to, let us seek God's blessing. Let us not be satisfied without God's blessing. How much we need God's blessing. And if you say, "Yes, that's true," then be sure you seek. Be sure you seek him from now on. Do not delay. Be sure you seek the Lord. And if we go back to Psalm 1, then the blessedness is being spelt out. The one who is blessed as not walking in the counsel of the ungodly and so on, he should be a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that may apply particularly to irrigation channels, bringing the water to the tree. And the Lord has his irrigation channels, bringing the grace of the Spirit to the soul. The Lord has his way of watering the soul. The Lord pours out his Spirit in one degree or another. The tree bringing forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now no doubt there are degrees of prosperity, and degrees of the child of God recognizing the prosperity that they have. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now here's the blessing again. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He loves them. He loves the way they walk, and he will keep them. When the way of the ungodly shall perish, the way of the righteous. They are being followed by the Lord's eye. They are being followed by the Lord's blessing. Yes, he will bless them, both small and great. You see, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Are we liable to assume that the Lord pays no attention to human weakness, but he understands human weakness? Christ was subject to all sinless infirmities. He understands. But the Father understands. The Holy Spirit understands. Yes. The Lord pitieth them that fear. He pities their weak condition, and he gives them grace in their weak condition. When the way of the ungodly shall perish, the Lord will preserve the righteous and bring them at last to everlasting glory. Yes, and see that promise in Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Are we at a loss where to go, where to turn? Are we feeling our ignorance? Are we afraid of making fools of ourselves in the circumstances we are in? Ah, well, let us seek grace to look to the Lord, who is speaking in these terms to his own people. I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. Yes. The question might be, what is the right way? Someone who seeks to walk in the ways of God. But in these particular circumstances, the person might say, what is the right way? I don't know what I should do at this point. Well, go to the Lord. Plead with him. He knows that we are dust. He knows that we are weak. He knows how weak we are. He understands, you see. Let us think of that. The Lord understands. He understands us. And in his wisdom, he makes provision for us as we are, so to speak. Not in the way of leaving us as sinners, but in the way of instructing us, instructing his own people and leading them on, and in the way of finding sinners and going in the wrong way, he is able to deliver them out of that. They should be seeking that. Yes. And see again in Psalm 103, the mercy of the Lord is unto them that fear him, The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Let the people of God plead in these terms. In Psalm 103. Yes. The Lord has spoken. And the people of God are to make use of these things. We are all to make use of these things. But what a blessing the people of God will have in the day of judgment. It will not be no ordeal for the people of God to go to judgment. They will go boldly. And at the end it will be said to them, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes. He will be with them. He will not forsake them. He will conduct them judgment as one who knows them altogether and who is absolutely just, who has drawn them to himself, who has forgiven their sins, who has made them pure and holy. And on the day of judgment, all will be well for the Lord's people, but not for others. But you see, the Lord is still speaking to all under the gospel. Psalm 81. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Oh, that my people had me heard. Israel, my ways had chose. You see? Those who are mingling with the people of God in the house of God, and in an outward sense are the people of God. I don't mean spiritually. But the Lord is saying to them, saying to everyone here, oh, that they had hearkened unto me. You see, it's an opportunity you have just now to listen to what God is saying to you. And he is saying this in particular to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thou shalt be blessed, and thou shalt be blessed forever. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, take each of us under thine own loving care, and wash away our sins. For thy name's glory, help us, Lord. Be thou our Saviour, our Deliverer. Come and bless us. Work in our hearts, subdue iniquity and love us freely. Give thy blessing. Oh, mix thy word with faith in our heart. And may thy people know the blessedness of being among thy children. And that that blessedness is what will follow them all the way to eternal glory. Grant to give them grace to pray, especially in their difficulties, and to be committing all their ways to thee, and grant to draw others by thy grace. Apply thy word this evening. Pardon our sin. Oh, do us good. Be with us altogether. Keep us, Lord, from every evil way, and be our God and guide forever. Wash away our sin and make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.